Welcome to the Equipping the Saints podcast. We're glad you're joining us today. Here is this week's teaching.
Welcome, and if you could turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. That's the text that we'll be in during this study as we continue this journey in the book of Romans. And we hear these words from Paul. We haven't been doing a study here for a couple weeks, but I plan on definitely making this a little bit more regular than what I normally have. So this past couple weeks on Equipping the Saints, you have enjoyed some audio devotionals about the Puritans. And so I hope that you were blessed with listening to that. I hope it gave you some words of encouragement on who God is and who Jesus is. And through Romans here, these couple verses here, we're going to unpack truly who God is with the wrath of God and understand the two distinctions between unrighteousness and righteousness. So I'll be reading out of the NASB, the New American Standard version here. In verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who suppress the truth in righteousness." So here we're seeing that it is the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. That the wrath of God obviously comes from a holy God that is in heaven. And I don't want you to understand as the wrath of God of being some like impulsive outburst of anger aimed at people who God does not like. That's not what it's about. It is the settled, determined response of a righteous God against sin. It's about a true righteous God against sin. And here we're going to read Theodore Beza says this, "For the wrath of God is made manifest." Seems to me that Paul's alluding to the words of the prophet in the Psalm 56. The Vulgate reads as revealed, and Erasmus renders it as disclosed. So the wrath of God is truly revealed towards the people of unrighteousness. And more accurately, it is constantly revealed. The wrath of God is not something to be feared as a believer of Christ. We are to understand that that if we are in his kingdom, that we are going to heaven, that we are destined for heaven if we are a part of his people. And we read the wrath of God and righteousness against sin all throughout scriptures. We read it in Jeremiah, we read it in Jonah, we read it in Psalms. And it is a constant. It is to uncover, to make visible or known. God reveals his wrath in two ways. And hear me out when we discuss this. There's two ways that God truly reveals his wrath. The first one, indirectly through the natural consequences of violating his universal moral law. It is violating the moral law, violating everything that is righteous and living a life knowing the consequences, living a life of unrighteousness, living a life of full of sin. I seen something on Facebook about Taylor Swift, about concerts and people standing in line to get merchandise. And somebody commented, was like, you know, if more people stood in line to go to church on Sunday, the kingdom would be in a better place. To where I completely agree with that. And so I stated, I agree, and here are the scriptures. And unrighteous people pointed out, saying that, you know, obviously not everybody's a Christian and not everybody believes in your God. And how do you know if you're true or not? And of course, you point back to the scriptures. But the unrighteous are going to act like the unrighteous. Hear me out, friends. The unrighteous are going to continue to act unrighteous throughout their life. They're not going to see the glory of God because they were never meant to see the glory of God. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. That the ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, and it's because they suppress the truth, they think that it's a worldly truth. They think the church is made up of a worldly truth, of something that is completely against Scripture for what it is worth. But the unrighteous are not going to see anything other than being unrighteous. Unrighteousness is ultimately caused by God, because God is in control of salvation. So if you're unrighteous, you are not made of Jesus. You are made opposite of Jesus. And here Thomas Hooker says this in question. This is a question. He stated this: what is the power of truth, or what does it do that leads wicked persons to oppose it? Well, the answer is, it appears first, it is a word of information that is first work to discover all things. It's a work to discover things, which is, well, you know that it, in order to get saved, there's no works. There's no way it works for salvation. There's nothing that can be done to gain that true salvation. We know that it is truly 100% done by Jesus. It is done by salvation through Him. That is the true only way of salvation. But it is done by nothing that we have ever done. We can't do anything to gain those things. And in our flesh, in our unrighteous flesh, without being saved, there's nothing that we can do to be saved in our power. We don't desire salvation. We don't desire the to be saved. So when you're talking to people that are made of the world, hear me out, ladies and gentlemen. It is because they are not saved. They don't have the desire in their hearts to be saved. The unrighteous don't see the glory of God. The unrighteous don't see the glory of who He truly is and understand that He can change lives. The unrighteous do not understand that. The unrighteous don't want to comprehend that. So when we're talking to people that are unrighteous and unsaved, they're not going to do anything or show you any signs of being saved. Martin Luther said this: Christ always begins His preaching of the gospel to this point. The first reveals and teaches what reason cannot have or known from the law. Namely, that all people, no matter how they are and live by nature, are damned under sin. They are damned under sin unless they are saved and they are made righteous and they are made new again from death into life. Hear me out, saints. There's no way around that. So when we're communicating with others who are made of sin, just like we are, understand we were made new, but they were not. They have not seen the glory of God. They have not felt the glory of God. So they will never understand or the impact of God and who He is until that salvation moment happens, until they are transformed and they are seeing the righteousness of God and they are living the righteousness of God, perfectly conforming to God's perfect law and holy character. And others translate this as justified. Once they are justified, they are justified. They are made new. Justification is ultimately being made righteous. When we hear the doctrine of justification, Martin Luther and John Calvin have spoken this all throughout the time, that you are made new, you are justified in front of a holy God. And once you're justified, then you are sanctified in the Spirit. You are sanctified moving forward. Truly, justification comes by faith. True justification of Jesus Christ, of Him transforming your life. And it is a divine standard. It is what reveals faith from faith to faith. We read that in verse 17. We read that it was talking about going from faith to faith. Righteousness man shall live faith by faith. It's not the unrighteous man. And in verse 18, we see the differences between God's wrath going towards the righteousness to the unrighteousness. And the unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. They suppress the truth, the true salvation of Jesus Christ. We read on in verse 19. It says, let's continue. Let's read the last half of 18 into 19. An unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness because, there's that parallel, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. That God truly made it evident for the righteousness to see the glory and the unrighteousness to not witness his glory. There's a reason why. And it's because he is just and it's because he is holy. God has sovereignly planted evidence of his existence in every nature of man by reason and moral law. That he has given the evidence of righteousness. And men who are made unrighteousness will not see his holiness. Men who are made the opposite will not truly see who he is and what he is made of. Martin Bucer said this, "For God revealed it to them. This is the proof of what he just said. He had an idea manifested to them. For since God himself revealed himself to humanity, the things that are lawful for men and women to know about him cannot be hidden from them." Which tells me there that if you are righteous and you are made of righteousness, then you will reveal it in your life. You will continue to reveal it all throughout the days, because we are to conform to who? The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The same Lord and Savior that put his life on the line for his people, willingly went to the cross for his people. It is the same Jesus Christ that we are to conform to. It is the same one that we are to hold true to. For every man to follow the moral law, to follow who he truly is, to follow a holy God. And we need the scriptures. We need the knowledge of his divine nature. The scriptures give us the proof of his knowledge. It gives us the proof of his divine nature, of who he is, the attributes of who he is, and why he is that way. And we are to continue to follow. We are to continue to see that. So we go back and we see that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness. Ungodliness and unrighteousness will feel the wrath of God at the end of days. The ungodliness that do not see God for who he is and who are completely against the Holy Spirit will feel the wrath of God because they are unrighteous, because they are made unrighteous, because they do not see God for who he is. They do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And they will ultimately feel the wrath of who he is. And it is constantly revealed against them. It is constantly revealed towards them. Then verse 19. Because which is known as God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them, the righteousness. Made it very evident to the righteous, makes it evident to the unrighteous. Understand that he should be glorified in either way. He should be glorified in either way. You know what irritates me is it's like when you lose a family member, you always have it in your heart to be like, okay, I'm going to see them in heaven. Understand that's not the case sometimes, because the wrath of God has been poured out upon them. And it's hard to see that. It's hard to fathom that, because these are the people that we love in our lives. These are the people that we've talked to about the scriptures. It's people that we have mentored. It's people that we have talked to about the gospel, and they're not receptive to it. Well, you may ask yourself, I wonder why they're not receptive to it. It's because the ungodliness is not going to be receptive to the scriptures. The ungodliness will not see the holiness of God. They will not see how glorious the scriptures are. They will not give their life to Jesus. They will not see it as something that they need to do. And the godliness do. The godliness sees it as they have to do that. The saved going through sanctification will see that through justification, through faith. Faith in a true Savior. Faith in a Savior that is Jesus Christ. Through a true Savior of nothing else that we have ever seen. Nothing else. There's no other love that can compare to a true Savior. So that wraps up verses 18 and 19. Of unrighteousness and righteousness. I hope you all were blessed with the study this evening, and I hope you can continue on in your studies in chapter 1 of Romans. We'll be going over verses 20 and 21 next week, and you will be blessed midweek this week, hopefully with an audio of the Puritans. So audio of the Puritans will broadcast the middle of this week. So be blessed. I hope to continue this study next week, and we will see you then right here on Equipping the Saints.
Thank you for listening today. Subscribe to our podcast and listen to the weekly teaching.